Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get started today, just a quick announcement. Today is the last day of the Laguna Dance Festival. And so there is a performance today at 2 p.m. at the Laguna Playhouse. So if you haven't gotten down there, it is the most amazing thing, and you should really treat yourself to an afternoon of fine art and dance, just modern dance and ballet and all that, with some just absolutely amazing performers. It's all put together by Jody Gates, who also runs the Kaufman School of Dance at USC, which is quite a big deal. So anyway, that's this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Laguna Playhouse. So you should go. All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. We'll be back in just a bit to get the show started.
Hey! my time of darkness. Oh, how you shine when everything seems hopeless. You know how to help me when I can't stand on my own. Don't let go now. You are the light in my dark world. You are the fire that will always burn. You are the light. You are.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am happy to have, I've long awaited this day, Pastor Rod Eccles from the Neighborhood Congregational Church. And, well, hi.
Hi.
Okay, so before we get started, you know, you were here before. Mm-hmm. But it was a different kind of show in that we had a fire going on at the time.
Yes, that's right.
And so it was kind of truncated and interrupted by public service announcements and evacuation mm-hmm. info. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to say that while there are some clouds in the sky, there is no fire
very good
involved.
Very happy.
So yes. Welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, and why don't you pull that mic just a little bit closer to you
sure.
so that the sound is consistent.
Okay. All right.
And all right, so you are the pastor of Neighborhood Congregational Church mm-hmm. right here in town.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing that?
I've been at the church since May of last year, and I'm happy to say that I'm still standing and loving the people and the energy of this town. There's nothing like Laguna, as you know.
Okay, and so what about Laguna is enticing or surprising to you? What did you expect when you came down here?
You know, I think it's the the real openness of the people.
And I assume it's down here as opposed to up here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the real openness of the town, the people and their willingness to learn and understand and share together. I've been really blessed and really encouraged by that. And having been here 14 months, I find that the energy of this place is so positive and so loving. And I know it's got its quirks like any other town, but I like those quirks. It's the kind of place where you can really have an identity and a real pride about your home.
We call that charm.
Yes.
So where were you before and why'd you get into the business?
Well, for me, I grew up in the South, in the deep South, Memphis, Tennessee, and I developed a real passion for faith, family, and love at a very young age.
Okay.
Kind of an evangelical, conservative background. Okay. But it wasn't until I went north for college and graduate school that I had a chance to really open up to experiment with new beliefs and new understandings and basically expand my Christianity.
Oh, okay.
And then I came here after that.
And so were you just assigned Laguna Beach? Was it something that you pursued? Or how does it work in the church with assignments?
Yeah, this tradition is kind of a free church tradition. So once I received my master's degree in divinity from Boston University, I had the opportunity to really scour the land and see what opportunities existed.
Okay.
I came to California in 2010 because I decided that this is the place where I wanted to settle my roots and develop my role as a thinker.
These people need saving.
But even more than that, to save myself. Again, as I said, my Christianity expanded. So what that did for me is it allowed me to find places that were progressive and willing to try new things and learn new things.
Okay. And so then you gravitated to the congregational churches.
Mm-hmm.
That's a denomination, I guess.
Yes.
And how does it differ from, say, Baptist or Methodist, or is there a big difference? Or?
Well, the main difference is how we govern ourselves. Okay. So the pastor has a role, but the pastor is not the end all be all, shall I say? I used to be that, but in this tradition, that's not the case. We really are about sharing and working. And building together.
Much more service than power.
You know, that's a good way to put it. But even more than that, it's humility. It's being willing to know that we're all ministers and leaders together.
Okay. And as a minister, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish?
I think the largest goal is to be the epitome of love, to stand on the side of love. That is to be as inclusive and as welcoming as I can to different beliefs, different religions, faiths, understandings, sexual orientations, to really give people a sense that the community can be as broad and as wide as we imagine it to be. I find that there's something special about peacemaking and justice doing and loving kindness. If we can do those three things as a church, we're being better as a community and we're also making a better world.
Okay. Now, I think the last time you were here, you guys were doing some kind of peace festival or love festival.
That's right. Great memory, Ernest. We had our first ever World Peace and Justice Weekend last June, and this was a fabulous two-day weekend where we included all kinds of special opportunities, including meditation, sound healing. We had a Moon Police special concert. We had guest speakers talk about interfaith cooperation, justice opportunities. We had art opportunities. I mean, it was a fabulous weekend where people came together, offered their talents, and had a great time. It was fabulous.
But church is supposed to be, you know, pretty formal and rigid. You know,
you
put on your clothes that you wouldn't choose to wear.
Well, if you come to this church, you're going to see a different way of doing things. So much so that that's what really drew me to this church and the community, because I found they wanted to be both churched and unchurched to sort of appreciate the traditions, but also try new things such as amazing weekends for the whole community.
Okay. And was there an interview process, or do you just get assigned and they're like, okay, this is the guy who's coming down there. Here's your notice.
I interviewed. Let me tell you, my friend, I interviewed. These people wanted a chance to get to know me, to hear me preach, to hear my temperament, my philosophy.
Okay.
And so it was a real marriage. It was a real coming together. And I have to say, over the past 14-15 months, I've come to really appreciate their openness, their curiosity, their quirkiness, and indeed their desire to be stronger and better together.
Okay. And you know, the neighborhood congregational church has traditionally embraced other faiths, other peoples. Was that hard for you? Was that like a little shock to your system? Because, you know, certainly in the South, there's, you know, winners and losers in the game.
You're exactly right. I think if the same young man had been asked to come and preach for a neighborhood church, maybe about 20, 25 years ago, it would have been very difficult for me to be in this community. Talk about PTSD. It would have been on steroids. But I think now, having gone through my experience in education and living my life on my own for these past, you know, maybe 20 plus years, no, I feel quite at home now. And I feel that my Christianity is better because we are looking to other religions, including Islam and Buddhism, you know, all the different understandings, Taoism, really trying to do our best to incorporate all the understandings because they're part of a greater whole.
Okay. And so what's winning to you? You know, it's mm-hmm. Sunday mm-hmm. and it's football season. So
go Broncos. and you are.
Hey, whoa.
Been a Broncos fan for many, many years. Aren't you a Broncos fan? No?
Oh. We don't even say that word. Okay.
All right. All right.
So, but as a minister, what is success? What is winning for you?
I think for me, it is making it clear that we're not just about growing a church. We're all about building community. To the extent that we can really show in our events and our groups and our programs as a church that we're about really feeding people spiritually from many different dynamics and dimensions that we've already discussed, I feel that we're doing our jobs. We are truly, truly building a community of unity and love.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and today I have Rod Eccles, or Pastor Rod Eccles, from the Neighborhood Congregational Church here speaking with us, and we have a surprise for you coming up. So stay tuned.
Great.
Till eternity. Hell no, it's not the way it should be in heaven.
This is KX93.5, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I'm having a great time here with Pastor Rod Eccles from the Neighborhood Congregational Church. And so when we left off, or in the first segment, we talked a little bit about your coming here and deciding to come here and kind of a little bit of your background. But let's dig into that a little bit more, because you have strayed a little bit from the path that was laid out in your childhood.
That's right.
So you grew up in the South.
Yes.
Serious Bible thumping.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in kind of a more open, kind of embracing kind of faith.
Yes. Yes.
So what does your family think of? I mean, I'm sure when you said, I'm going to be a minister, they're like, yeah.
Oh, they were so happy. So very happy.
It's like, it's almost like your son's going to be the quarterback of your favorite NFL team or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, they start to hear you talk about maybe Buddhism or embracing other lifestyles,
yes.
Choices.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then they're like, you know, maybe not as happy as they were.
Well, I think in my experience, I found going north for college was the beginning of that journey. You know, I'm turning 18 and I'm leaving that Southern cultural environment,
right.
Moving to the north, going to some great schools for both undergrad and graduate education. My family values education above so many things.
Okay.
And
all
so
right.
And so that helped to start the conversation with people like my mom and my grandmothers and all those types,
right.
about who I am and what I'm becoming.
Right.
And even if there is some friction in certain areas regarding religions and lifestyles and things like that, mm-hmm. I think they still appreciate that inside of me is still that real deep love for faith and family and community. Those have never gone away. And so even when we're over dinner and we're disagreeing about various religions or different ideas, we still come to that final place of you still love and you still feel that power of love for others.
But aren't they afraid that maybe you're not doing it right? and that there'll be consequences.
They do a good job of not showing it if they feel that way. No, seriously, there's a real grace, that idea of grace.
Okay.
The idea being that I may disagree with you, but right now I'm here to really encourage you. And they do such a good job of that. Even my mom does that.
Because that, you know, I have some roots in the South and have been to church down there and what I've gotten from that experience as opposed to, say, maybe Catholic, where how I grew up, was that there was a fear of the consequences.
Yes.
And that at a minimum, that's why you should be, you know, doing this.
Well, I don't mean to suggest that those thoughts have changed in my family. What I'm suggesting is that when I'm in front of them,
when
we're having spaghetti dinner or the soul food meal, I'm saying that they are remarkable at asking me what I need. Where am I at?
So they can still love you.
Yes.
Even though they may not actually understand or see exactly where you're going.
Right. And I think that's a powerful trait that my mom and others have. I'll say to you that for me, having gone through my experience and having made some incredible friendships along the way, I think that has really helped me to share with my family the power of where I'm at and where I'm headed. You know, when I had a tremendous encounter with a friend of mine at Brown, you know, he came to me at one point and asked me what I thought about his feelings on Buddhism and Islam and other faiths. And I remember sitting with him and thinking that his humanity, my humanity, are what matters most. That conversation, among others, helped to change my fundamental beliefs. And I told my mom that.
Really?
I told my family these things.
In that moment, you were able to look
at
yourself and say, wait, I need to.
That my being could be expanded. That my, I love this show because it's about being. That my being my being was not offended. My being was not changed fundamentally. My being was not attacked because someone else. No, my being, it was actually helped. It was enhanced by someone else's understandings. And I told my mom this. I told my family things like this. And again, they were willing to love me where I was at. Yes. And I value that so much.
He's a little mixed up.
So very much.
We just keep hugging him.
Well, let's put it this way. In the South, there's a very strong church culture.
Yes.
As you and I both know.
Yes.
And that covers a lot of people's personal beliefs, understandings, or thoughts about the world.
Sure.
It colors everything.
Yes.
And sometimes I wonder what my family, my mom, and others would do if they didn't have that culture all day, every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I think they are terrified at the thought of it.
or willing to perhaps try something or think about something differently, like I did. Remember, I left the South.
Right.
I didn't come to California from Memphis. I went north.
But
that changed everything.
When I was going to, you know, when I would visit relatives and they would send me these churches, you know, they were very clear on this is the right way. There's really only one way. And those other people are going to the lake of fire.
And if I have folks in my family who still feel that way, which I'm sure I do, perhaps even my mom and others.
Yeah, how do you address that?
For me, I'm very honest with them, and I share with them that I don't feel that way, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, I share with them that my Christianity is not limited by that. In fact, it's expanded. I go straight to the Jesus teachings, the same teachings that they heard.
Hang on a minute.
The same beatitudes, the same miracle works, the same thoughts about love and community. They're all the same words. My understanding has changed.
Okay.
I share that with them.
Okay.
And they think, okay, I still love you, even if I disagree.
yeah. You got me a little mixed up here, no.
Yeah, right. The same teachings. And my mom is good about that because she loves to read the Bible as much as I still do. And she'll say, well, you still believe in the same Jesus. We may think about him a little differently.
Okay.
But we still believe that he changed the world.
That's how she comes to accept and I guess appreciate your journey for truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even more than that, now being in my church, I don't mean to say that my church is even the same across the board. Even in my church, you'll find that people think about Christ differently. They think about Jesus differently. They may call themselves Buddhist more than Christian. This is my church. And I've come to appreciate that. I've come to see that those are part of a larger whole that have to be appreciated and loved. For me, I'm not fundamentally changed. I'm still a Christ-loving man. I'm still a Christ consciousness pastor. But my understandings are helped. They are enhanced. My being is better because I choose to include others.
And so, are you evangelizing and saving those souls, or how do you look at that? What are you doing?
You know, someone asked me that question recently. They said, "Are you still evangelical?" And you know, I had to sit back and think about that for a minute, because at its root, evangelical is about persuasion.
Right.
At its root, it's about a curiosity and a thoughtfulness about the things around you, a willingness to share. It's almost like when I was a fundraiser, I was selling something. Well, I'm still selling something. I'm selling love, and I'm selling community.
Okay.
I'm selling togetherness. If that makes me an evangelical, I'm still an evangelical.
Okay. All right. And you are here today selling something, aren't
mm-hmm.
you?
I am, in addition to love. Absolutely.
Well, yes. Let's talk about that, since you've walked into the,
all right.
opened the door to that.
All right.
So you guys are having another event of sorts.
Yep.
And it's coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about it. What are you guys up to?
You know, I appreciate this opportunity, Ernest, because when you and I met a few months ago, we were just beginning as a church to think about this project, and now it's launching directly. I want people to remember two things today before I leave. The first is, I'm so happy to be here and that I love Ernest deeply. The second thing is that I want everyone, when you get a chance, to go to ncclaguna.org. Again, that's ncclaguna.org. If you go to that website, you will be able to learn about what I'm going to share now, which is our mosaic. Our church is going to be creating a tile mosaic, a ceramic tile mosaic, on the wall that fronts Glen Eyrie Street of our church. It's a very public mural. And so I want people to go to our website, read the information, because you, everyone listening, including me and you, Ernest, we have an opportunity to play a part in this project.
Oh.
We've asked Mike Tauber, the Artist of the Year.
Mike is awesome.
We've asked Mike to both design and lead our mosaic installation that's going to take place over the next 2 months. And the beautiful thing is that people like you and me can take part in the color picking for the tiles, the tile glazing, as well as the installation for the actual wall.
Really?
So I need everyone to go to that website, see the information, and sign up so that you can be invited to the color picking, the glazing, and the installation for this great wall.
And how did you come up with Or what's the inspiration or the motivation behind this project?
I think it was twofold. We wanted, on the one hand, to beautify our campus. You know, many people have yet to step foot on our campus, and I understand that because it's a church. And some people may have sort of a thought about a church or maybe no thoughts about a church. And so we wanted something that could be a unifying factor. We wanted something that could be both spiritual, nature-oriented, and religious. And we got all three. I need folks to go to the website and see this mural, because you will find in it all kinds of elements that bring everyone together. I can't describe it. You have to see it for yourself. But the key is that we wanted to beautify the campus, and then we also wanted to figure out a way to engage the community. We've done both. We have an amazing, sophisticated design, and we have opportunities for glazing and installation for everyone who's listening.
And I guess it will be there for all to see for mm-hmm. quite some time, and so you can be a part of.
That's the idea. I hope that people will take part in the installation and the glazing, but even more than that, really see this design and feel that it reflects Laguna, it reflects our openness, it reflects the spirituality of our church and our community, and ultimately, it's something that everyone can be proud of. Everyone can be proud of.
All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and we will be right back after this quick break.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh and know they love you.
And you, of tender years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they bit, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
We all know, we know lonely. On that long road to Austin, had a dream, thought I lost it. I came home, found you there. See that smile across my face, ear to ear until I break. But you don't know. Do we know where the brothers stir? Fence and dirt and bread to feed, all the masses, all the greed. Who will tell the children? 60,000 chemicals fill our cups and fill our lungs. Who will cure our lonely hearts?
People calling out on the shorelines. The greatest suffering of all is a lonely heart without a cause. Who will cure a lonely heart? Thank you.
All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. My guest this morning is Pastor Rod Echols, and he has only moments because it is almost time for church, isn't it?
That's right. That's right, Ernest.
You're doing this project, but mm-hmm. but before we dive into the last little, you know, call to action type stuff, mm-hmm. what does your church think of what you're doing? I mean, it's a national organization, and mm-hmm. there are different, you know, cultures or mm-hmm. communities that it's serving. Mm-hmm. But at the center, they're like, you know, we got to keep, you know, our brand, mm-hmm. our message mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. How do they respond to you and what's going on down here?
Well, this is why I'm so excited to be a part of Neighborhood Church, because the culture of Neighborhood Church is very open and very willing to try new things. I remember after we did our June Peace and Justice Weekend, the church immediately came back to me and said, okay, we did that for the community. What's next? I mean, this is the kind of church where folks are actively thinking and moving and wanting to try new things. And that, to me, is very liberating and freedom-giving as a pastor.
All right. Okay, so you guys are doing the Mosaic Project. Why don't you just give a quick okay. summary of what that's about and right. what you're trying to accomplish, okay. and then let people know how they can be involved.
I appreciate that, Ernest. So I want to encourage everyone to go to our website, ncclaguna.org. That's ncclaguna.org. We have teamed up with Artist of the Year, Mike Tauber, and Mike has designed a very beautiful, very open, and very affirming mural that we're going to place on the wall that fronts Glenary Street at our church. I want everyone to go to the website and see just how large and how amazing this design is. Yes, it's tile. Yes, it's inviting. It's beautiful. It's inclusive. It's spiritual. It's Laguna. It's all those things we care about as a community. And I really need you to see it to really understand the breadth of what we're doing. We have opportunities for tile glazing, installation. We even have something called color picking. We need everyone's help. We need everyone's heart. We need your energy. We need your time to make this thing work. ncclaguna.org. We need you to play a part in public art.
So you need the whole neighborhood to be involved.
The entire.
In the congregation.
Yes.
Of the church.
Well, I hope that people will see this and say, oh, it's not just a church thing. This is truly something for all of Laguna to participate in.
Or not see churches as so separately
yes.
from life.
That's right. Well, for us, if our doors are open, then our heart is open. And that's the best love we can be.
All right. Just one last question. How do you retain your joy? I mean, you're an adult now,
mm-hmm.
but I am. A very joyful person.
How do I maintain it?
Yeah,
great
how do you
question.
Keep your batteries charged?
That's a great question. Well, that's another benefit of living in this area. I take a lot of time to relax and to meditate. I go to the beach often. I read a lot as well. These things keep my energy going and my curiosity high. I also have an amazing set of friends. You know, part of being is connectedness. And so I'm connected to a number of people who feed me spiritually, emotionally, creatively, and they keep my curiosity going. I'm not in one place all the time, and I'm certainly not closed in my beliefs or my openness. I really try to connect with those I care about most. That keeps me going. And then finally, I like a good football game. I'm a huge Broncos fan, and that keeps my energy flowing. We got a game today that I hope we win because we need it so badly. I really try to take my time to feed my whole being.
All right,
matters
that's
to me.
It.
Okay?
Pastor Rod, get out. That is enough of you.
I appreciate the time, Ernest.
All right,
thank you
well,
so
thanks
much.
Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
Happy Sunday.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who listened today.
All right. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to The Importance of Being show. That's all we have for you. Coming up next is Steve Reed from with the Coast Highway Shuffle. And thanks for listening. This is KX93.5.
I can't remember. If there is grace in this world, if there is light on this earth, let us use it. Let us see it, starting right now. Can we be down with ourselves, respectful and mindful of one another, your significant other, sister, your brother? Peace, love, more tolerance, faith, hope, trust in the same name of God. Peace, love, more tolerance, faith, hope, trust. Doesn't matter what book you're